This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting live, not from the studio, Brian.
Not at all.
We are at a beer festival. We are at Little Beer Fest in Duluth, Georgia, hosted by Good Word Brewing. And we're going to talk little beers, Brian.
We are.
I'm Tim Dennis. Y'all know Brian Hewitt. He's here with me. And Brian, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. So joining us today, we have a bunch of different people talking little beers. We've got Todd DiMatteo, Ryan Skinner, both from Good Word. They're here right now joining us. Later on, we're going to have Joran Van Ginder, Sean Bainbridge for Halfway Crooks. We got Jake Endres from Crooked Run joining us. We've got
Jake
Andrew
Endres,
Harden.
Brian.
Endres,
said
yes.
Yep.
Jake
yep.
Endres from Crooked Run Brewing and Andrew Harden from Thin Man. So we've got a full show.
That is a full show.
It is.
Guys,
they've
thanks
also
for joining
been
us.
Convicted of crimes. They're now full-time crooks.
Like full-time crooks.
Just so you know.
No
well,
longer
there's no such thing.
He's definitely
halfway
full-time.
Crooks.
That's what I'm saying. He's a full-time
right.
crook.
Right. Full-time.
Yeah, exactly.
They're it's false marketing.
Fronting with this halfway crook stuff. Todd, Ryan, how are you gentlemen doing today?
I'm better good. Now. I think I died a
good.
Couple of minutes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, better now.
Dead.
Died a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Died. We're 2 hours into it. The last couple days were rough.
Oh, yeah.
We only up a few small things.
You know what, Ryan? We're on the radio, so you can't swear.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll censor those two out. Like 1 minute in. 1 minute in. And we've got two. But we'll make it from here, right?
We won't screw it up.
That's right.
Listen, it was that CBD thing.
The CBD
That's
thing.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was
oh,
the CBD
yeah,
thing
nothing.
About,
yep.
So.
CBD. What's what
they
is
they were
it
just handing these
that?
Things out here.
It's the weed thingy,
guys. I'm gonna be honest with you. That wasn't CBD.
Uh oh.
We've been.
Oh no.
Welcome like to. Seth
yeah, welcome to the next
three.
4 hours.
That's three.
That's fine.
Again.
I'm so
again.
I'm so sorry.
Ryan's not allowed on the show anymore due to vulgarity. Todd, Ryan, guys, thanks for having us out here. Thanks for inviting
thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
To the festival, Little Beer Fest. We love the little beers. We love Good Word. So it's cool to
thank
be out here
much.
Hanging with
appreciate
you.
Appreciate y'all.
What made you decide to make this happen? Todd, I know we've communicated about the fest. Is this a joint effort, or do you let him run
this
away with it?
This is 99% Todd, so he's going to do
Todd.
Most of the talking. I'm going to sit here and just drink this
drink
beer.
Beers.
That's,
we had,
that's not true at all. Me and Ryan talked about doing this maybe 2 years ago. What we drink has changed for sure. We haven't really been into the hazy IPAs for a while, and you can tell from our own tap list.
Sure.
But yep. We talked about this at least a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we just kind of put it on the back burner. Obviously, COVID shut everything down,
it
so we just weren't thinking
yeah.
about it. I actually went to the city and said, hey, is it okay if I do like a small thing out in the courtyard? And it was like, nah. A week later, Ryan was in the office with the city manager and offhanded just mentioned, yeah, we were trying to do an event, and it'd be cool if we could. And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And
okay.
they're like, we had something fall off the calendar in 7 weeks, so you have 7 weeks to put together. So
oh, wow.
Ryan has helped immensely, especially with organizing this. But, yeah, we just wanted to, get a bunch of friends who make similar beer. And, I think that everyone's palate has gotten a little fatigued with a lot of the, the stuff. And when you go to a brewery and you see the exact same beer done with different hops over and over, it's like, what is the fun in this? And why did you start brewing? Because this is definitely lame. So I feel like a lot of brewers have shucked that a little bit, and they're having more than
sure.
just one lager, because it was like, you have to have one throwaway lager, and it's a dad beer. But I think that people realize that making quality lagers is not, something to scoff at, and everybody's giving it, they're all, and most of the people here are making some of the best beer, I'd say, in the country, and some are arguably the best lagers out there. But yeah, we just love having our friends come and pour beer with us.
See, I still enjoy a pastry stout, a well-made stout, something like that, but 9 times out of 10, like if we go hang out on a Saturday, I'm finding me a brew pub that's got a Czech Pils,
yeah,
that's got a lower American pale ale or
sure.
something like that, that
dry
I can set
and
drink. Yeah,
you just
want to
be able to
set back and kick a few back and chat with my friends,
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie to you and say we don't do pastry stouts or fruited sours or even put milk sugar in our beer. We don't do candy in beer, but, we play the game to that. And we have three hazy IPAs on right now. But back to what you said, a brew pub, I feel like a brew pub has to have a little bit of everything, in my opinion. But, you know, our list probably has more lagers and English beer than it has of any other style. I'm pretty proud of that.
Well, I can't sit down with a pastry stout and drink 5 12-ounce servings of it chatting with friends. I mean, or I don't want to anyhow. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Right. But the conversation gets really interesting when you do. The act of drinking, I enjoy. I like to do it more often than you can. It is possible with the big pastry stouts, like you're saying. I mean, I love when you go into places now. It always used to be, like you were saying earlier, you have the one lager on here. This is for the BMC drinkers. Now we've got lagers on for people who love beer. Not for people who like...
The crispy boys.
I get stuff from the convenience store every weekend and I go to hammer back a rack of it. No, you've got stuff in there for people who want to drink, but they want to drink something that's not insane and something that's flavorful at the same time. Sure. So I am so on board with this, as are we all, I think.
Well, I think we're getting back to where, you know, when me and Ryan started in this industry, you had to, you know, be a bad to even have clout, and then it just became, that just cramps in the fermenter kind of thing, and I feel like we're having to get back to that because there are so many quality breweries out there. I mean, there are definitely some that need some fine-tuning, but the games are going to get tougher now that everybody's starting to turn towards, you know, easy drinking lagers and hopefully English beer too, which is, again, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
but
we had a Vienna lager out here that was really nice. There's an English mild.
Yeah, Crooked Run's got an English mild out here.
And stuff like that. Yeah. You know, on that note though, there's a huge variety in lagers. Like, I've heard people just go in and say, I don't like lagers, and leave it at that. That you can't really make that blanket statement.
Remember 15 years ago when people were like, I don't like IPAs?
I do,
And then the BJCP added like 20 different variations to it.
Hazy, semi-hazy, opaque.
I think a lot of that, though, is the same thing where people were like, I don't like draft beer because it gives me a headache. There's those mystiques to things that will be broken down over time. You're talking about it now on the radio.
Sure.
And whether we talk about it and try to celebrate it, it will become more popular.
Right.
Because there's a reason why it's the most popular top category of beer in the world is because, it's dry and refreshing and it's friggin' delicious and it's amazing.
Do you think we'll hit a point where people are lining up 30 people deep waiting in line for the sellout?
No,
I hope not.
Because it's not what beer is about. Like, don't worship beer. Internal mantra, one of them is, it's only beer. Do not put it on a friggin' pedestal. It's beer.
Says the guy's making world-class liquid. It's easy to say there, you know. So,
well, we
it's
were saying
just beer, man. It's just beer.
If you want to take our passwords for anything, it's only beer, beer, right? It's our password for most things. But anyway.
When I want to switch it up, it's only beer.
It's just
one.
Beer. It's only beer. One.
Our exclamation
one.
Point.
Dollar sign.
Add any kind of exclamation point or something like that, it makes the password unhackable. Nobody can guess it. Or if you swap letters for symbols, nobody can guess that.
Is this facts?
100% facts.
Sure.
Brian, I literally can remember like 20 things in my life right now.
You're just
complicating it.
Whenever I forget mine, it just moves to my next child with a number and an exclamation.
All of our iPads in the restaurant are hooked up to his Apple account, and I'm like, what is it this time? Is it Penny? Is it Ophi? What is it now?
Give me the login, man. Let's get it done. So they keep getting more complex with those. A lowercase and uppercase, at least one Roman numeral.
I really wish they would leave it up to me to make it as complicated or uncomplicated and just tell me, hey, there's some risk to this. But if you want to go with password as password, you can do that, but that's risky.
I think you should brew a beer.
I don't have millions of dollars, so you can just take it.
Yes. Take it. You should brew a beer with the name is like a real complex password that just keeps circling around the can. And you should change your Wi-Fi password to whatever that is.
I like that. So we've got some pretty goofy names for sure. We give the goofy name market a run for its money.
That's the fun there, right? Have fun with the beer names.
Somewhat, I played in bands for a long time, so it's like a little creative thing.
You got Die Todd Die, a little self-deprecating there, right?
Well, actually, it's a knock on Untappd. There was somebody who rated our English mild low, and his name was Todd. And I was like, that's a crappy name.
I do remember that story.
Liked that name.
You took a shot at us one time with Face for Radio. So
that was hilarious, but it was. I love it.
And a voice for the written word.
That's right. Just basically stay out of the way.
So this seems like it was a very successful event from what we're seeing. Is this going to be an annual thing? Are you doing this again?
That's the goal,
Hope so.
As long as the city doesn't push it off their agenda. But we're hoping to get the green. That's kind of the plan. So obviously this is a fine space, but if we can get the town green, you can fit like 8,000 people
spread
down there.
Spread it out
Not
more down
that we
there.
Would want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, somewhere around the 500 mark. But we want to keep it the same kind of vibe. But there is a handful of breweries that, you know, we're like, we're in for next year for sure. And I don't want to say who they are because
don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx
throw
it.
Throw a voodoo hex on it
there. Because there's some breweries that I definitely look up to. So it'll be bigger for sure next year.
Good
and
stuff.
We want to clue some more of our Georgia friends and next year's event too.
Be a good time. Guys, thanks so much for having us out here again. Ryan and Todd, Good Word Brewing, Little Beer Fest. You are listening to Beer Guys Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
Don't overlook the cheap stuff. That's the idea behind our podcast, Good Swill Hunting.
We've got a beer insider, a beer outsider, and a guy who's going to shoot it to you straight.
We try it all. Some ain't bad.
I'm going to finish this, and I'd drink another.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm digging it.
Others might leave a bad taste in your mouth.
It feels like beer for people who want to feel like they're drinking craft beer.
First sip impression. You got.
Yeah, it's a letdown.
It's not something I would want to wake up with.
Is that something you normally do?
I like to have a cold beer. It kind of rinse out that morning breath.
Oh, okay.
We try the cheap beer so you don't have to. Check out Good Swill Hunting wherever you get your podcast.
Patio season is here, and the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia has plenty of outdoor space for you to enjoy a cold beer and some tasty barbecue. They've got 48 taps of great beer, wine, cider, and even hard seltzers, plus an impressive craft cocktail list, so there's something for everyone. If you're ready for some friendly competition, head over every Tuesday for trivia, or relax and take in the local talent with live music every Wednesday and Sunday. Enjoy the great weather while you can. Grab your friends and head to the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Shake it back!
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to Lager Talk at Little Beer Fest.
Little Beer Fest, Duluth, Georgia. Good times. Our first Beer Fest since February 2020.
Yes.
So it's good to be back and partying. And we have Jake Endres here from Crooked Run Brewing. Jake, how are you today, sir?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. And you mentioned you had a small festival, so to speak, at your brewery. Little intimate event recently, right?
Yeah, we did a mini festival called Propagation that we hope to make a little bit bigger next year. But it was the end of April, and Good Word and a couple other breweries that are here today contributed some beer, and it went very, very smoothly, but it was just capped at 50 people per session, so very low key.
That's a good time, man. I'm glad to be back outside having some fun, seeing friends. But Jake, we got one of your brews here right now. What are we sipping on?
That is one of the beers we're pouring today. It is called Canary, and it is a dry hop brissette, a low ABV saison that was bottle conditioned, and it uses a yeast that we isolated from elderflowers that grow outside our original location.
Okay. You know, when people say little beers or low alcohol beers, I almost always go to a Pilsner in my head. That's just mentally where I go to, but there's a huge variety out here today, you know, from the mixed cultures. Like you said, Brian, you said there's ESBs, there's Vienna lagers.
There are, yeah.
And
I think there's even a half out there somewhere.
For all the madness, there's stouts and porters here, too. So what is the lowest ABV beer you do that may surprise people how low the alcohol is on it?
Well, we are pouring an English mild that's 3.5 today. But yeah. We also have a adjunct lager called Prim that's 3%.
Wow, 3%. See? It would take a lot of those for me to tie on a buzz. So let me just tell you, that sounds like a plan. That's a plan to get me to buy more of them.
You can give it a whirl. back when I was homebrewing, I made an English mild, and I had some left in the keg that I needed to use the keg. So I thought, you know, there's probably 2 pints left. I'll just drink it and then, you know, be done with it. I ended up drinking like about 5 of them. Or no, actually 10. And I just kept going through it, and it just is so low ABV, it just doesn't really do anything, which is nice if you're trying to hang out all day.
It'll make you run to the bathroom a lot.
Yes, a lot. Yeah. But, yeah.
Did you get to the point you're challenging yourself? Like, I'm going to get a little buzz off this one way or the other.
I was giving it a whirl, yeah.
Gave it his best effort.
Start shotgunning ESBs or English milds.
Now, when we talked to you before, Jake, you do, I think they're called low intervention wines. Is that right? Do they do any low ABV wines, or are you just kind of controlled by what's in your grapes happening there?
Oh, yeah, we do low ABV wines, and I'm really excited about this. So we just had our first wine release 2 weeks ago, and one of them was a Paquette, which is 4.5% wine made from second-use grapes. So you take the pomace that's left over after crushing and pressing, and you add that to water along with some sugar and make a little low-gravity wine that, you know, drinks surprisingly full-bodied and full-flavored because the skins still have a lot of flavor left.
Okay.
And our first release was kind of small, but we have an orange Paquette coming up, and it's all I'm going to drink this summer. It's awesome.
It's the party guile of wine, right?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the term for that, the party guile. So that happens in wine as well as beer. I guess it makes a lot of sense. You got a lot of raw material left over. Why not, right?
Yeah, and one misconception that I I kind of had before we started doing this a lot, we do second use fruit too, is that it's just a way to stretch your money, but that's not really what it is. The flavor is a lot different because your skin ratio is like way higher. So you're pulling a lot more tannins, and also it's way more condensed. So like, you know, 10 pounds of pomace is kind of like 100 pounds of grapes.
Okay, right. That's pretty interesting. I did not know they had second use on grapes like that. So that's pretty cool to make it stretch your beverages out. I think we've done stouts and porter, Party Guile, and then of course the Saison, like a higher ABV Saison to table beer kind of thing before, so that's always fun.
Those are fun, yeah. And I guess you can't really make dog biscuits out of pumice like you can with, like, spent grain, right?
They don't taste too good.
I think grapes are poison to dogs.
Probably, actually. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Dogs can't eat grapes or raisins. That's toxic.
Okay. Well, that makes sense that they couldn't eat raisins. They're just concentrated grapes. So
the answer to your question, Brian, is a solid no. You cannot make dog treats out of that.
Well, you can. You should never give them to dogs. Yeah. Just ornamental dog treats.
Yeah, yes, ornamental dog treats.
Hang them on
treats.
Your Christmas There's, tree. Yeah.
That's our moment of insanity for the show, ornamental dog treats that you just lay around the house. Jake, what types of little beers do you dig? What do you go for on the weekend? You're kicking the 3.5% or 12-pack?
To be honest, typically I drink whatever new thing we just put out, regardless of what style. I kind of like everything, and if it's new, I will have drank it less, so it's more appealing to me. But when it comes to small beers, the Paquette, like I mentioned, is something I drink a lot of. And then, you know, obviously lagers and stuff like that are good too. But when we released our mild, I drank like 6 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was fine the entire time. So it's nice.
I'm loving that lagers are cool. I've been about 3 years predicting. I'm like, they're on it. Pilsner's coming back. These lighter lagers are coming back. And finally, you know, it's starting to get... There's a beer fest for them. So, you know, that should be a good thing. How much variation do you do in lagers at your brewery? Like, how much do you experiment there?
So we have a year-round Pilsner that we do called Coast. And then all of our other lagers use a different yeast strain and are treated a little bit more differently. They get more lagering time. All of them are naturally carbonated via spunning valve. And then we really try to make use of, like, a lot of different types of interesting Pilsner malts and other Virginia-grown grain, too. We're very fortunate to have a farm brewery near us that grows a lot of grain called Wheatland Spring. And they have some excess that they can sell us. They're actually here at the festival today.
Okay, cool.
You should give it a try.
So I would like you to explain what a spunding valve is, because I don't actually know what it is. I feel like I should by this point in time.
Yeah, so a spunding valve is just, German breweries use them a fair amount, but they just kind of cap the carbonation. It's essentially a pressure relief valve that you set to a certain level. So as the beer is fermenting, the CO2 can't vent as rapidly as it would if you were just blowing it off. So it's forced into solution in the beer, and so it carbonates as it's fermenting.
So you use that valve, and you can kind of set your vols of CO2 via that valve. Like, it'll say, we want the beer at this pressure. It's going to let the rest out of there.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
So
that's
protecting
cool.
that keg or bottle conditioning. Well, I guess not bottle, because bottles don't have spunding valves yet. Not that I've seen. Or cans.
That'd be an expensive batch of bottle conditioning there with all.
You know,
with
people
all those
would buy it. They
there.
Would line up to buy cans with spunding valves on them. I know they would. Can conditioned.
And another one of Brian's great ideas.
That's right.
So you could hang an ornamental dog treat on the can.
That's right.
To
you
go
can.
Along
You've
with
got
it
a
there.
Valve to hang it off of. It's perfect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Are you getting a chance to get out to any of our Georgia breweries? Of course, we're right here at Good Word, but. You making a trip of this?
Yeah, so we brought a big crew here, and the plan is tomorrow to go to Braves game, and then after go to Arches and Halfway Crooks.
Okay.
And then we got to get on a plane and fly back home.
Now, you know, Terrapin has a brewery attached to the Braves stadium.
Oh, so then we will definitely go there.
And it's kind of cool. It's a barbecue place and a brewery, the Terrapin ATL Brew Lab. But if you're in the stadium, you can come through the back. You don't have to leave the stadium to get to the Terrapin Brewery.
Sweet.
So
they do make
there,
my
man.
Favorite Terrapin beers, and the easy access is nice when you're watching the game.
And the barbecue place has country fried ribs, so if you're thinking about needing those in your life, that would definitely be something to go for there.
Indeed, indeed.
Brian, what are you most looking forward to here today?
So I am looking forward to trying, you know what, I've seen a lot of grisettes here, and that excites me. You've got a grisette. We got a grisette on the table that was given to us. I'm loving the grisette style. It's the right time of year for it, and it's a style that I forget about. So what style of beer are you interested in trying out, guys?
Dude, I got to be honest. I like the Pilsners. I like the Pilsners. We had an Italian Pilsner from Halfway Indeed. Crooks that was really good. I'll try them all, man, but I was really – if this was all Pilsners, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't hate it. I do like the Italian Pilsner. Jake, how about you? What are you looking forward to trying down here?
anything that's kind of weird or I haven't had before. But, you know, yeah, Pilsner's great, for sure.
See, we're 180 there. I'm like, give me a good Pilsner, man. He's like, give me the weird, funky that I haven't tried in that. I wonder what the strangest thing we've got out here today is. I haven't looked to see who got the craziest with their little beers.
I honestly think just having a stout at a festival like this, a little beer festival, is a little crazy in itself. I'm imagining it's more than just a stout, but who knows?
I think the rule here is 5% or below, so...
Technically, you can do a stout 5%, you know?
You could, yeah. You can do that. Maybe do the part I got, I'll do you a big one, then run you off a small stout porter, something like that. Have a little fun with it.
Yeah. Jake, do you find brewing the small beers is harder than brewing the higher gravity beers? Is it more challenging? Because there's not a lot there, honestly, to hide behind.
It really depends. But yes, it's hard to get some of these beers to be balanced, especially session IPAs, little stouts. Everybody wants a thick stout these days. So, yeah, you know, that's hard to pull off.
Yeah. The pastry 5% stout. Yeah.
That's possible, right?
Yeah. Well, you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Enjoy your time here. And
sure,
we'll be back to talk more Little Beer.
Looking for a perfect afternoon beer, a feel-good weeknight beer with your dinner, or a great beer for whenever you don't want alcohol? Look no further than Athletic Brewing. They've won awards on multiple continents and are revolutionizing anything you've ever thought about non-alcoholic beer. Check out their website at athleticbrewing.com for a store closest to you, or order online with free shipping nationwide. Athleticbrewing.com. Use code BEERGUYS25 to get 25% off your first round on us.
Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What in tarnation?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM in Fairbanks, Alaska. Catch Beer Guys Radio on KFAR every Saturday at 12 a.m. Now let's get back to Lager Talk at Little Beer Fest.
Little Beer Fest. We're here with Thin Man Brewing. With Andrew or Drew, anything but Andy, right?
Anything but Andy, yep.
Anything but Andy. And I was admiring your shirt just
before
I came on here, and it looks kind of like a Buffalo Sabres with a guinea pig, but I'm told that's a wombat.
A wombat. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
It is a wombat, so our flagship is Trial by Wombat, New England style, Galaxy, Citra Mosaic, what everyone likes.
That doesn't sound like a little beer, though, huh?
It is not.
Okay. Yep.
It is not.
I want to know what a wombat even is. I've heard of them. I have no idea.
So wombats are really cool. They poop cubes.
Oh, all right.
So
interesting.
So their sphincter is actually set in a square, and they poop cubes because they're territorial. So you mark your territory as you do, and apparently different sections of Australia are on a grade. So if you poop a cube, oh, that sounded really good in my headphones. If you poop a cube,
radio sound,
as the old saying goes, doesn't roll downhill. So if
you
poop a cube, it's not going to roll that far.
That's interesting. I would never thought of the importance of that. I'm
fun
out of
wombat
that whole
facts.
Story. I'm most impressed with a square sphincter because I don't see how that works. But
I wasn't built that way. But that's
okay.
The genetics at its finest.
How about that, man? You know, it's
is that a surgery you can get? Because now I'm interested.
I don't think toilets are designed that way.
Oh, that's true.
It's a square peg through a round hole.
That's right.
Wow. Wow.
This is not what you expected at Little Beer Fest.
Sorry. Well, I'm here for Marmot Facts.
Marmot Facts.
Okay.
You can subscribe to that list. So.
Yes. Hashtag Marmot Facts.
Andrew, Little Beer, Thin Man, what's the... some of the little beers you brew there at Thin Man?
We brew very little beers.
Okay.
So
what are you doing here, man?
I was born in Marietta, and Todd is very nice to us.
Okay, Todd's a good dude.
So, yeah, they wanted a brewer, and I'm here.
There you go.
What did you bring? What did you bring? You had to bring something kind of smallish, right?
We did. So we brought Che Notte, Oh What a Night, or What a Night in Italian. As I don't speak Italian, so hopefully I'm translating as appropriately as I can. But it's Italian-style Pilsner, very low, spunded, traditional, malt forward, nice and crisp. And then we brought Backwards. So Backwards is exactly what that is. So we're going to go back to 1996, and we're going to pour you a highly carbonated mixed fermentation Saison.
As they did back in 1996.
Yes, that's why it's Backwards.
Okay, yeah.
25 years ago. Do you get into the Pilsners? You guys play in the Pilsner territory there?
We do. So we have our original brew house, which is a 15-barrel brew house on Elmwood Avenue in Buffalo. That was where we actually opened and started. And now I work at the production facility, which is a 30-barrel brew house. We're processing in 90-barrel fermenters and 150-barrel fermenters. So we make a lot of production beer. We don't get to have a lot of fun. Ryan Karchuk, I'm going to shout it out to him. He's a fantastic guy, and he does a lot of our smaller batch stuff. And he's the guy that gets to have fun and tool around a little bit.
But cranking them out, though, right?
Yes. We mix business with pleasure as much as we can.
And to talk a little dirty, we were talking off the air. You said in your casual time, you've been known to maybe live the high life, right?
I do live the high life, yes. I like to drink cheap, inexpensive beer.
Let's say you can only drink macro lagers.
Okay.
Is High Life the one you're going for?
I will actually go to the side and say I like Miller Lite.
Okay.
I mean, High Life is great. Miller Lite is a little lighter.
You know, now see, you're in New York. You should be hitting the Jenny Cream, man.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Jenny Red Eyes all day. But you can't get that down here.
See, I was going to say,
I like the full flavor of light beer.
What's a red eye? I know the regular green can, right? That's just the regular cream,
so
right?
So the cream ale is a cream ale, yep. So it's got some corn in there. It's a little bit sweeter. Some people will say it has DMS. I don't give two about that when it comes to drinking cheap beer.
But
Jenny Red Eyes are their full-flavored lager. So when you see Jenny, it's Jenny Lager. But they come in a white can, and they've got a nice big red Jenny logo on the front, and so that's why they're Red Eyes.
Okay.
Industry term. Just like Utica Club, if anyone's familiar with Utica, New York, they make Utica Club, but we call them Uncle Charlie's.
The Uncle Charlie's, you see, man.
Yeah, Uncle Charlie's.
I'll keep an eye out for that. I wonder if that does secretly come down here, because I've seen some variants on Jenny on the shelf once or twice.
The guys at Jenny are fantastic people to us. They help us out with some analytics as we need, and they're great. If you have not had a Genesee beer, you should totally have Genesee beer. My Desert Island beer would probably be a Jenny Cream, if not those, you know, full-flavored Jenny Red Eye lagers.
Okay.
So.
If we're going macro, man, I got to have some hams in there. I'll drink some hams.
Hams is good. Yep. Hams is also a good choice.
Yeah.
So we were talking before we got on the segment here, and you said you do some teaching, right? Like a beer certificate teaching, beer science certificate, right?
I do. So I teach for Trocare College in New York. We are doing a certificate program. It was an 8-week program. Now it's a little more exaggerated due to COVID times and things like that. So we're doing a lot of mobile teaching. New York is fairly strict when it comes to regulations. Not so much in the past week or so, but they were very, very strict for a while. And it was tough to get on campus and be in person. And as anyone knows, brewing is a physical science.
Indeed.
So you really need to be there. You need to make sure that stuff happens. And education, as far as that's concerned, it can be hard. But, yes, we are trying to do our best to make sure that we have a good pool of people to pull from. You know, we're trying to make the best beer in Buffalo, New York. We're very small, comparatively speaking. There's not a lot of large or regional breweries unless you look at, like, Genesee or Southern Tier, things like that. So being in a smaller city with some smaller regional breweries, having that pool of knowledge to pull from is hard. You know, it's a lot of import if you want to find someone that's trained and has the experience. And it's tough sometimes.
You know? Are you seeing a lot of interest in the courses, though? I guess pre-pandemic? How long have you been doing the teaching?
I've been teaching for about 3 semesters. So I used to teach at the CIA at Niagara County Community College for a semester. And then it's my second year at Trocare.
Okay. Cool stuff, man. I've seen more and more schools are getting the brewing certificate programs, you know, training people up for brewing. So,
well, it's tough because we try and do an internship as well, and a lot of people don't want people that they don't know or bringing in because of the times, COVID times, to let someone that you don't know in your brew house. And,
right.
And at that point, if you don't have a lot of experience, you're more of a liability. So it's
very true.
It's a hard ask.
We've seen a lot of collaborations that have been long distance collaborations, virtual collaborations.
We did one with Todd at Good Word, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so it'll be cool. I've already heard a few brewers saying, "Hey, I can't wait to get back to, you know, going out and visiting my brewer friends and being able to collaborate with them and actually brew together in the breweries there." So.
No, being out here is beautiful. I miss Atlanta very, very much. Like I said, I was born in Marietta and went to Fayette County High, so I miss being down here. I miss the red clay. I miss the heat. And I won't say that I miss the humidity, but I do.
That's true. Even today, we've got a few clouds taking care of us. When you looked at the weather report before the festival, it was supposed to rain exactly like the hours of the fest, not before or after, just right on the festival. But we've done okay in escaping that.
We really have. We've had a river of spent beer run through the our little tent here. But in terms of, you know, humidity coming down from the sky, no, it's been pretty clear.
That's right, yeah. So if folks want to find out more about what's happening, where all are you available now?
So we are in about 11 states.
Okay.
Georgia is not one of them until today and hopefully currently.
All right, there we go.
But we're working on it. We're out, we're around. If you've got a craft beer provider, I don't know a lot of bottle shops or things that are down here, but we've got a few larger producers in New York and subsequent states that if you serve craft beer, we're there.
Cool.
Awesome, I went out to Syracuse, went out downstate New York, and I stumbled upon my beer much more often than I found that I was willing to.
It's good to be found out there, man. Absolutely.
It is.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thin Man Brewing here at Little Beer Fest, Duluth, Georgia. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take a break, but we'll be back very soon.
Have you ever thought about owning your own brewery but don't know what it takes to get one built? We're Storytime Construction, and we build breweries. We're Georgia's most experienced and hands-on contractors when it comes to building new breweries and tap rooms or expanding existing breweries. We offer full buildouts, remodeling, and additions, as well as consulting and construction management. Give us a call at 770-733-4343. Storytime Construction. We build breweries.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Cannonball coming.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to Lager Talk at Little Beer Festival.
Little Beer Fest, we are here with the Halfway Crooks. We have Sean and Yoron here. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
This is your jam, right? A Little Beer Fest. This fits really well with Halfway Crooks, huh?
Yeah, it's the first beer fest we've done in a very long time, and I think it's like one of the best.
It's awesome, right?
We've only done like, what, two? So this is definitely in the top two.
The top two.
Now, before we get into any beer talk, I want to talk about hats. Sweatshirts, I think. So Lager. Four lagers, right?
There's four. A lot of people say three, but there's
four. Lager. Four. So those really kind of took on a life of their own, right?
Yeah, they did.
Why? Something so simple. Why do you think that's it? The simplicity, the statement of it.
I think it might be the shape of the letters. You know, it forms this beautiful like half moon situation.
Right.
I think people respond to that shape.
It's symmetrical. Yeah, it's got some feng shui to it.
Symmetry.
Yeah, I feel more at peace seeing that hat on a person's head than I do without. Yes.
I think a lot of the things that we do are pretty subtle, but that's one of the things that we do that's probably not subtle. And maybe that's
we see people all over the world wearing the hat and the sweatshirt and stuff. You'll look on Instagram and see brewers everywhere with those. So it's interesting to see the way that took off.
Yeah, we ship a lot outside the country.
Like, yeah.
I drive to DHL. Twice
a lot.
I've seen them in Germany before, which was pretty crazy.
What's the furthest away? How far away do they get?
We sold some to Russia, right?
Yeah, Russia, England,
Belgium,
Scandinavia,
Italy. They're everywhere,
man. Yeah. Everywhere. So Little Beers, guys, you've recently done. You did a Kolsch Fest, with a traditional Kolsch service, 20 centiliter glasses, and.
Uh-huh.
You empty one out, and there's another one there waiting for you, which I personally think is the way all beer should be served.
Yes.
Oh, right? Indeed.
And you had Czech Beer Days. I think that just wrapped up for you recently. Is that right?
That's right.
And that was a good time. Came out. We had there was a representative from the Czech consulate there.
Yeah,
correct?
You guys were there when the...
We did.
That's right.
Got to see the kickoff.
Honorary.
We had the toast.
Yeah.
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 So, they came down. We reached out to them because we wanted to make sure we kind of did the festival right and had a good representation of Czech culture and food and beer, and they signed off on
they
it.
Saw,
and,
okay, there.
Yeah,
Czech approved.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they request that you change anything from your previous plans? Like you were thinking about having, I don't know, peacocks or something like that? They say, nope, not part of Czech culture. We don't want them.
I mean, they kind of added to the conversation mostly. So, like, we had a couple ideas, but they really brought most of those ideas to life, like the Maypole. Their festival center is a little bit more around, like, folklore and things like that, and we wanted to have some of that symbolism as well. So I think, if anything, they definitely gave us really great ideas.
Yeah.
You know, you are one of my favorites of the Czech Beer Days. The Deset, I think it was 3.5%. Is that right?
It's 3.9.
3.9, man. Yeah. I could have sat there. It was a beautiful day to kick off there. What was it? Mid-70s, sunny, beer garden.
Yeah.
Low ABV beers. What's Deset? Tell us about that one, Joran.
So it means 10 in Czech. So 10 Plato beer and low alcohol, very drinkable beer.
We just got some Czech saaz in this year from a farm that does irrigation, which has been kind of difficult to find. Saaz is having trouble with global warming. As far as like the climate goes, like it's been a harder hop to grow recently. So we finally found like a farm that irrigates their saaz, and we were really excited to get that variety in. Direct.
Czech saaz.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't know this, but is that not typical in Europe to irrigate hop farms? I'm not a farmer, so I wouldn't know.
No, we had some saazes before, and they were on and off.
Yeah.
So we're really happy with this one.
Yeah, the quality was a little bit wavy, and this is very... It's an amazing hop. I mean, we actually tried it with Stan, and he was basically saying that if the beer's not good, we did something wrong. It wasn't
the hops.
No pressure at all. Just
says the hops guy, right?
Yeah.
So I saw Stan out here. Stan Hieronymus. We had him on a couple weeks ago on our Friday live stream. Talked hops. Talked about specifically Good Words hops and the relationships you have there. But Stan is here at the fest and is getting ready to relocate to Denver.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. So. We're going to miss him out here.
Sure are.
So, Sean, you're on. Do both you guys brew, or is it
team
effort?
We both brew, and then we just hired Joel. Joel's helping us out as well. So.
Yeah, he's been great. Joel previously brewed at Scofflaw, and I think he came on around, like, what, two months ago or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
He's been a huge help,
When people visit Good Word, because you guys went into what is known as Atlanta's Summerhill neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you're on the front end of the revitalization down there because the area, it wasn't great before that, right down by Turner Field. What made you kind of shoot for that location? What made you go down there?
We were riding our bikes one day, and I mean, we'd been to Summerhill quite a bit, especially I used to be a season ticket holder for the Braves, and we were pretty upset when they left town. And we were just kind of riding our bikes around and saw these beautiful old brick buildings. And we really wanted a brewery that felt cozy and lived in and celebrated like kind of the history of Atlanta architecture. And a lot of these buildings are being torn down, as we all know, right, and seeing the developments go up. So we were really enamored by these buildings, and just kind of kismet the next day. Someone called us and they were basically like, we heard you wanted to start a brewery, and we have acquired these buildings on Georgia Avenue, and we just kind of went from there.
That's cool. That's, and Sean, the interior decorating, that's a little inspired by you, right?
Yeah, it's inspired by both of us. So Sean's background is like computer science, electrical engineering, and then we blended that together with like old Belgian beer bar feel. So like we have the CRT TVs that play weird old programming electronic stuff, and then like the bar, you know, is Belgian inspired. Like the tile in front of the bar, like we actually just recently, a friend of Sean built like a Sparkos.
Hey, what was that?
Tell me more.
So if you go to traditional Belgian bars, you can really, you see it over there, and it's like a savings account. So it's like a big wooden box with different slots. So all the regulars had their own slot, and they would put their spare money in there. Or if you knew somebody was in need, you would put your money in his slot. And then they would open it up when you ran out of money, or there were different variations, but you would basically, if you were out of money, you could use the money that was in that savings box.
So beer it forward, basically.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm running short. Okay. I need an extra beer.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Talking about the design of the place, the biggest thing, the most important thing, I think, is that rooftop beer garden area with that roof. That roof that you have is insane, and I love it. I love that you can be up there, and it can be open when there's when it's a nice day, and it can be closed when it's raining cats and dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've been there both times, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Who came up with that idea? What is it even called, actually?
It's like a louvered roof. It's made by a company called Structure, and we wanted to have events up there and kind of have a separate kind of space. Like we had a lot of duality conversations about the brewery. Like we wanted these two different types of fills, upstairs being more of a beer garden fill, kind of more fun, and the downstairs being kind of more cozy. Originally, we were not going to have a roof, and we kind of decided later in our design process to get this roof in order to just hold events up there, rain or shine, and it turned out to be very advantageous during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine your guys' spot without that now, being out there. So it's a good time to go down there. Some small beers. What have you guys enjoyed out here the most today?
I've enjoyed Divine Barrel's Czech beer. I've liked Schilling's offerings as well. Yeah.
I've enjoyed Zilliqa.
Zilliqa. Oh,
yeah, great beer, great people.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. I actually visited there not long ago, and they had some great saisons. I've been meaning to follow up on that at some point.
They had some good stuff. Yeah.
They make amazing beer.
And yeah. I've enjoyed the Quesadiche. I think I said that right. Italian Pilsner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've seen quite a few of those around. Quesadiche. That's a good little beer style.
And
there.
Metric is nice, too. You've got both of those here today, Quesadiche and Metric.
Yeah. Awesome.
And Quesadiche is a collaboration with Folkspear, who's here as well.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, all the cool kids are here, man. It's a good time. Sean, you're on. Or if people want to keep up with what's going on at Halfway Crooks, what's the best way to do that?
I would just follow our Instagram. That has most of the up-to-date information. Our website's pretty good, too. Yeah.
Cool. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Join us next week as we'll talk with Wandering Souls Brewery. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a good week. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.